Meditation of our hearts, be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the children's hymn which we just sang expresses a truth which should lie at the heart of every Christian, a desire and resolution to be counted among the saints. The word saint simply means holy one. In both the Old and New Testaments, the Lord calls all of his people to holiness. After delivering the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt, the Lord brought them to Mount Sinai and told them, "You are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." St. Peter uses these very same words in addressing the church in his first epistle. Likewise, in the book of Leviticus, there are several places where the Lord God addresses his people saying, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Once again, St. Peter picks up these very words and gives this command to the church in his first letter. And St. Paul, frequently in his letters, addresses Christians as those called to be saints. So on this Feast of All Saints, we think on this theme. We consider our calling to be saints. To this end, the Church appoints lessons which present us with two images. The first is found in our epistle lesson, where we envision our desired destination. And the second is found in our gospel, where we have an image of the roadmap to that desired designation. We begin with the first image in the epistle, the vision of our desired destination. The scene comes to us from one of the visions that St. John received in the first century when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, he tells us. He was taken up into heaven where he saw things almost inexpressible. He strains to paint certain pictures for us to help us grasp what he saw. In this scene, he sees a great throng before the throne of God. He says that it was a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. St. John is told that these were those who came out of the great tribulation, who had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Meaning, these were those who had received the Lord Jesus, who had been baptized, and who had persevered in his service unto their life's end. In expression of their gratitude to God and to the Lamb, they were standing before the throne in worship and praise. They were clothed in white robes and were waving palm branches, which symbolized victory. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." This is the picture of our desired destination. These saints serve as an inspiration to us. Even though they faced great tribulation in this life, they persevered in the faith to the end. They refused to forsake their commitment to Christ, and they sought to walk in obedience to his will. And as a result, they have been ushered into his presence. The faith that they walked by in this life has been realized. The pain that they experienced in this life has been put away. They have finished the race and have received their crown. So the first image that we have in the epistle is our desired destination, a place before the throne of God. The second image given to us in the gospel serves as the roadmap, if you will, to our desired destination. Here our Lord Jesus, in his most famous and memorable sermon, presents us with what we have come to know as the Beatitudes. What we have here are eight virtues to which we are to aspire, and each one is coupled with an eternal reward. Note that I call these aspirations. This is probably a better word than something like achievements, because the latter would imply something like a list that we could complete and then check off. But these virtues do not work in that way. In fact, each of them implies a certain struggle, a striving. They imply that we now live in a place where such characteristics will be difficult, but they are intended to prepare us for the kingdom in which we will one day enter by the grace of God. I'd like to state each of these and offer a brief comment on them, and then I will home in on one of them in particular, which I think is most pertinent for this feast today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who walk through the gates of that city must recognize their own poverty, not monetarily, but spiritually. There's no place for self-sufficiency before God, only a recognition that we are totally dependent upon Him. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We mourn in this life because things are not as they are supposed to be. But one day, the Lamb of God will wipe away every tear from our eyes because He has promised to come again and to make all things new. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Humility rather than pride is the passport to the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We currently toil in this life to do what is right, and we find ourselves frequently acknowledging and bewailing our manifold sins and wickedness. But one day that spiritual battle will be over. We shall be filled with righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for that they shall obtain mercy. We who are constant recipients of God's mercy are called upon to extend that same mercy to others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Our Lord, the Prince of Peace, calls on us to pursue peace with all men. When we do so, we imitate the one who will one day bring perfect peace to a riotous world. And finally, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Earlier, we were told to pursue righteousness, and now we're told that as we attain it in this world, we can expect to be persecuted for it. But there is one beatitude which is most fitting for today. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. To see God, what has historically been called the beatific vision, is the ultimate state of blessedness. And what is the path to that vision? A purified heart. How is this accomplished? In short, by looking into our hearts and examining them, and by seeking to root out every thought and intention that is contrary to the will of God. In this life, our hearts need to be reoriented to love that which God loves and to hate that which God hates. Thankfully, the Lord has provided us with various means to accomplish this purifying of our hearts. We have Scripture, which serves both as a mirror to expose our flaws and as a guide to correct them. We have worship as a means to appear before God, where we confess our failures and receive His healing grace. And we have the Holy Eucharist, the bread of heaven, which comes down to us, as it were, as medicine to heal our souls and bodies and to prepare us to enter into that blessed place. Beloved, today let us recognize our calling to be saints. And as we consider and remember those saints who have gone before us, let us resolve by the grace of God to be one too. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."